Well, it's good to see you. I had a very good conference down in Mount Hermon. It's nearby Santa Cruz. And I think about 217 pastors all over the states came for what's called the West Coast Presbyterian Pastors Conference. And I thought it was just for people in the West Coast, but people from the East Coast came, people from Iowa, Michigan, all over the states came for the conference, and there was a very good Bible teaching, and it was just good to meet other pastors on a personal level. And on Thursday night, they had a talent show, a talent night, and I didn't know pastors could be that funny. They're quite funny. Well, let's turn to today's words. Two passages. The first one is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It's a very famous passage that you all know and even memorized. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then just one more, short, just one verse from the Old Testament, book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 26. This is Proverbs 14, 26. I'll just read it to you. Whoever fears the Lord has secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. So we're still in the series, Faith Begins at Home. If you are a single person looking for a marriage partner, what kind of qualities would you look for? You know that there are some Christians who have prayed for specific qualities they want in their future partner. And I know a few people who have prayed for specific qualities in their future spouse and met a person with all the qualities they have prayed for. And I know a few who say, you know, they have prayed for their the qualities in the spouse, but they met most of the qualities, not all, but most of the qualities they've been looking for and praying for. And there are even some people that say parents should be praying for the future spouse of their kids, even when they are in elementary school. And so we as Christians, we focus a lot on finding or the meeting the right person. But I very rarely hear Christians saying that we should be more concerned about what kind of family we want to build. Of course, choosing a marriage partner is very important, but what may be more important than the type of person we marry is, what kind of family do you want to build? What kind of home do you want to build? You know, going to a good college would be nice, but what you want to do after college with that degree is more important. What kind of family do you want to build with your spouse? And if you're married, what kind of family are you building right now? What does a Christian home look like? I don't mean a physical house, but I mean as a small community of people. What are the values and practices of your family? What does your family stand for? What is your family about? What does your family live for? What may be your family motto? What is the difference between a Christian home and a non-Christian home? I think it's pretty simple. God lives in your house. God dwells with you. And God is the Lord of your family. The husband is not the Lord. The wife is not the Lord. And the children are not the lords of the house. You know, some parents are just, you know, so concerned about their children. But only God is the Lord of the household. And as Joshua said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And if God is truly the Lord of our houses, one of the visions that we should have as Christians for our family is that our home will be a house of prayer. A house of prayer. We want to raise our children in a prayer-saturated environment. There's a book called The Praying Family, and in that, the author, Kimberly Butts, says that when her family moved to a new apartment or new house, they dedicated the house to the Lord because they wanted that house to be the sanctuary of God's presence. So they got olive oil and they anointed the doorposts, and they prayed that their house will be consecrated, dedicated to God as a house of prayer. Because Kim says that you are not sure what went on before the house, before in the house by previous occupiers. So this was a good way to warn the enemy that you cannot hang around in this house. Well, we may not have consecrated our houses to God or apartment units when we moved in. But it's not too late. I mean, you can do that this week. You know, you can dedicate your house to God sometime this week. Just get together as a family. You may or may not use an olive oil, but you can say, pray, God, this is your house. We want you to be the Lord of our household. And you can dedicate and consecrate your house as the house of prayer. But I think dedicating your house is just a start. To build a good house, you need a firm foundation. And the foundation of a Christian home, foundation of the house of prayer is the parents who pray. The foundation is praying parents. And you won't have kids saturated with prayer unless you have parents who are saturated with prayer. Parents, how often do you go into your closets to pray? You single adults, do you want to be good Christian parents? Then you want to build a habit of prayer. You want to be a man and woman of prayer. You know, when we pray, the husbands are supposed to pray for their wives, and the wives are supposed to pray for their husbands. But you know what's even better? You can pray together as couples. More and more Christian leaders are saying that the couple should get together and pray for each other. And all the Christian counselors, they emphasize that couples who pray together stay together. And one couple developed the habit of praying together on a regular basis. And it has helped them to be ready when unexpected things happen in life. So when trouble comes, they immediately come together to pray. And it's almost automatic. And together, united in prayer, they know they can face anything in life. But you know, for many couples, it is very awkward to hold hand with your spouse and pray. It is, you know. So if that's really awkward for you, then you know, you could, at least when you get together as a family, in your family worship, you can pray out loud for your spouse. When the father is praying for the family, you know, the father prays not only just for the children, but for the spouse, for the wife. And when the wife is praying for the family, the wife makes sure that she prays for the husband so that the kids can hear the parents praying for each other. Parents, do you pray for your kids on a regular basis? I think this is a very important message for the parents. Much more can be accomplished from our knees than from our mouths. Much more can be accomplished for our kids from our knees than from our mouths. In a book called Prayer Saturated Kids, the authors talk about a couple named Scott and Kelly. they became very disturbed when they noticed their son getting really into heavy metal music. Their son was named Caleb. And Caleb, as a result of listening and really getting into the heavy metal music, he became depressed, withdrawn, and sullen. There was a change in his personality, in his mood. And he spent hours in his room listening to that stuff and, you know, playing the guitar. And at night, he often had horrible dreams, and he was having these attacks of panic and fear. And before, you know, Caleb was a good student. You know, he was very involved in church youth group. He was a good student, he prayed and read the Bible. But ever since he got into that heavy metal music, he became a different person. So Scott and Kelly, they try to talk to Caleb and get him to open up. But the more they tried, the further Caleb pulled away from the parents. So the parents decided to pray for their son every day. And just out of pure desperation, the father, Scott, slipped into Caleb's room every night as he was fast asleep. And he just knelt next to his bed and he prayed and pleaded for his son, silently. And after about 2 months, on Saturday, Kelly and Scott heard a commotion in the garage. There was a sound of something breaking and crashing, and someone crying and sobbing. So they ran to the garage, and they found Caleb, you know, with a hammer in his hand. He was just crushing all those lots of heavy metal CDs, and he was crying. And when I was working as a children's ministry director in New Jersey, Palisades Park, you know, there's many Koreans there. I met a guy named Chan Ho, and he was on the church staff, and he studied theology in undergraduate, but he ran into new business. So he was doing business in Korea, and he came over, and I guess he was a fairly successful businessman back in Korea, but when he came to the States, because of the language barrier, he couldn't really thrive in his business, and he had to work for someone else. And, you know, they weren't making much money. So he was, you know, working for the church part-time. And he was married. He had two kids. Their son was named Joseph. You know, good name. Joseph. And had a daughter. And whenever I met with him, like, and talked about, you know, Christianity, talked about life, you know, they were such godly couple that I always felt like, wow, I need to be praying more like these couples, because they're really prayer warriors. And they shared a story with me about how their kids learned to pray. You know, they have two kids. And when their son got to be about 7 and their daughter about 6, they really wanted to learn how to play the piano. But they didn't have a piano. And they went, Mom and Dad, you know, can we buy a piano? Please, you know, let's get a piano, a real piano, right? And the father, Chana, was like, well, you know, we don't really have money to buy a brand new piano, let alone used piano. They're very, very expensive. So, but, you know, they kept on nagging, no, Dad, Mom, we want a piano. Please, get us a piano. Chana was like, okay. Why don't we do this? We don't have the money, but maybe we can pray together as a family for God to give us a piano. So why don't we start praying? So whenever they had family worship, they prayed for a piano. And they've been praying like that for months. And after a few months, Chana was approached by someone that he knew. And they were moving to another state, and they wanted to just give away their piano. It was, you know, a few years old, but still very nice-looking, good-looking piano, and, you know, good brand. And he approached him, and he's like, oh, we're moving, and we thought that your family might want a piano. Do you have one? Do you want one? I'm like, yeah, sure, we'll take it, right? So he was delighted, and he took the piano, he brought it home. And, you know, the kids were just so happy to get a decent piano. I guess they weren't expecting a brand new one. But the ones that were most surprised were kids. They're surprised that God had actually answered their prayer. So next time, you know what they did? Whenever they needed something, they didn't tell the parents. They're like, let's pray, right? So that's how they learned how to pray because they experienced God giving them a piano. How can we make our houses into a house of prayer? There's several suggestions. And the first thing is when you get up in the morning, just invite Jesus to be the Lord of your house. You're not praying like long 15, 20 minute prayers. When you just get up, just, Jesus, would you come in and reign in our house? Would you work in our house? So in the morning, we're rushed to wash up and get dressed and brush our teeth and go to work. But as soon as we get up, we just invite Jesus into our house. And you can use your meal time to pray. Usually, we can't meet during lunch, but I think, a lot of families still can meet for dinner. So as you get together as a family for dinner, you pray not just for the food, but you pray for some urgent concerns. For instance, if one of your kid is sick, then the family can pray for that sick kid. Or if there's an urgent prayer request, you can pray for that request. So the prayer, the family is using the meal time to pray together. And if your child on that day had a test and received an A in math or English, then you can thank God. Thank you for giving wisdom to our kid and helping our son or daughter do well. And also, the families can pray through the challenges. And it's good to involve the children to pray for issues that concerns the whole family. When we were old enough, my dad, when he was, we had to have family worship every day, 9 o'clock. And he shared some issues that involved the whole family, like moving to a new church or moving to a different location. Or when my mother had to have a surgery, he shared a request, let's pray for mom. So, some issues, when kids are old enough, we can pray together as a family. And one of the female Christian leaders that I really respect and like is a person named Sharon Song. And she was on staff of KCCC for more than 15 years and back in the East Coast. And her maiden last name is Cha. And her brother is a professor at Trinity, Peter Cha, another great Christian leader. The whole family, the Cha family is just a very godly family. And when I was in Michigan, I invited her to speak at our church. And she shared with us the story of her family. Whenever there is a family crisis, they got married and they all live in different states. But her mother would call all of their four children. And she says, there's such and such issue, let's fast. So they would fast for like 2 or 3 days. Whole family members, they pray about one issue all together in different locations, but they fast. And whenever they pray, there's some kind of resolution to the crisis. And that's how they overcame their family challenges and crisis, by fasting together as a family. And another thing, is this, pray when you lie down, in your bedtimes. Children love to be tucked into their beds, and it's a good time to pray together with your kids. And if the child talks to you about a certain event or some concern that the child is having, you can pray about it together. And it's good to affirm what the children prays. The author of the book, Prayer Saturated Home, she shares this story of a 4-year-old Michaela. When she was 4, she looked around the room and she began to thank God everything that she saw in her room, like books, desk, Barbie dolls. And, if it was like a Korean mom, she'd be like, that's enough, that's enough, let's go to sleep, right? But then this mom, she was patient. She waited patiently and she said, wow, it's nice that, you're thanking God for all those things. I'm sure God will be delighted with a thankful little girl. And then she said, well, can we pray for other members of our family? So she, as she prayed for other members of the family, she picked it up and she began to pray for other members. So, the mom was teaching the daughter how to pray for others. So the mother did two good things. She recognized the importance of the child's prayer, and she modeled a way to pray for other people. And last practical thing is remembering today's verse, Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. And the authors, they said this was their family motto. You know, they said, they got together, in our family, we're not going to worry about anything, but we're going to pray about everything. That was their family motto. We pray about everything. And they did. They prayed about everything. And another verse, Proverbs 14:26, it says, you know, whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. But I think we can substitute the word fears to pray. You know, whoever prays to the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children the house will be a refuge, a safe place. Our children will be secure and happy when the parents saturate the house with prayer. There's a pastor named, a black pastor named Edward V. Hill, and he was a pastor who worked with Martin Luther King during the civil rights movement. And he says that his mother left the family a legacy of prayer. This is what he writes. I came from a broken family. My mother's income was $12 a week. We had no welfare. We had no aid to dependent children. We had nothing except what we made during the summer by picking cotton and shaking peanuts. Five of us lived out in the country in a two-room log cabin. We didn't have much, but we knew how to pray. Mama left nothing that required a will, but she taught me how to pray at an early age. When there was no money for a doctor and no white doctor would see us in my county, my mama laid her hands on me and prayed. When there was no hope that I should finish high school, my mama said in faith, God gonna send you to high school. And when I finished high school, my mama shocked the whole community by saying, Ed is going to college. And he did. He says, I am the result of my mother's prayer. As parents, what kind of things do you want to leave behind for your children? Do you want to leave them a nice big house? I don't know, stocks of a company that has future? I hope that all of us can leave the legacy of prayer. Let us be models of prayer to our children. Let us invest our time praying regularly for each of our children, so that later in life they can say, I am the result of my parents' prayer. Let's pray.